In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A certain lawyer came to Jesus, intending to tempt him. Lawyers, their business is to justify someone. And in this case, the lawyer's effort will be to justify himself. And he asks Jesus the question, what may I do in order to inherit eternal life? Of course, not everyone at the time amongst the Jews believed that there was a resurrection into an eternal life. The Pharisees were those who believed it. As soon as we say the word Pharisee, we think, oh, bad people. But the Pharisees, they were amongst the best of their time. The Sadducees were the priests of the temple, the aristocrats, the most powerful people in the Jewish community. And they rejected the idea of a resurrection into eternal life. The Pharisees were largely businessmen who had built up lives of their own and identified with and were concerned for the poor in a way that the Sadducees were not. So the Pharisees were the good guys of the time. But they were good according to their understanding of the world. Christ came to push us beyond our love of this world and our idea that this world that we live in is the standard. At our end of history, the Christian faith has largely been reduced to a faith that serves, a kind of Pharisaical understanding of the world. And now when I use that term Pharisaical, I'm not referring to the Pharisee and the publican. That's kind of what we think of when we hear the term Pharisaical, but what I'm saying here is that to be Pharisaical is also to take the things of the world and the standards of the world and helping according to the standards of the world. And the standard of the world and the way the world is as the norm. And Christ pushes us beyond the standard of the world. He has come to make it possible for us to live from his life, not simply to make worldly lives better according to our own highest understanding of what it means to be a good person, but to realize that we are one as human beings, created human beings who are one with one another through Christ. Christ came into the world in order to reveal to us that any divisions between us are only external divisions, that inwardly, as God has created us, we are brothers, we are neighbors, we are brothers and sisters, all of us. If we are created human beings, then all of us are neighbors. And this is something that we have to know within ourselves, in our hearts, so that when the occasion arises that someone is near us who is suffering and needs mercy, we immediately reach out to that person as neighbor, because all of us are neighbors in the common and shared humanity of Jesus Christ. That's what he came to reveal, one of the things that he came to reveal, a central one. When the lawyer comes to him and asks, what may I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus begins with him where he is at, as we'd say today. He is a lawyer. Probably we could speculate, it's a strange question, you know, because it's a kind of lawyer-like question which points to the Sadducees and their strict adhering to the Mosaic law. But it's a question about eternal life. We're not sure. on what we have here, if the man's question is sincere or not. Is he maybe someone who thinks like the Sanhedrin in a kind of a lawyer kind of way, Old Testament law, but asks this question in order to trip Jesus up, the way the Sadducees asked Jesus about who a woman would be married to after the resurrection if she had married seven men, seven brothers? It was a trick question. Is it a trick question here, or is he sincere? We don't know. Jesus knows. He begins where the man is, and he asks him the question, what does the law say? And the man answers that we are commanded to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Perfect answer. And Jesus commends him. You have answered rightly. But evidently the man is there to justify himself, because he asks a kind of very Jewish question in a way, because the Jews thought in terms of their community. You were expected to treat other Jews as neighbors, but Gentiles, Romans, Samaritans, that's a different issue. And so the man asks a natural question. But who is my neighbor? Now we know that there's a difference, a departure from this way of understanding things and the way of understanding things that Christ has come into the world to reveal. And so he tells the man the parable of the Good Samaritan. And afterward he asks him, which of these three was neighbor to the man? And the lawyer, again, answers rightly. At least he's an honest lawyer. Doesn't try to wiggle out of it. The one who showed him mercy, he was the neighbor. He was neighbor to him. Go thou and do the same. But is it so easy to go and do the same? Especially the way Jesus is talking about it. Because he's not talking about the Jews treating one another as neighbor. His example is a Samaritan. Someone who is not a Jew at all. He is the good example in Jesus' parable. Jesus is pointing to the fact that all human beings deserve to be treated with mercy. Whenever we see someone who needs mercy, we respond with mercy. It doesn't have to be someone who is in as difficult a condition as the man who is lying beside the road and needs aid. Whenever we speak to someone else, if we are loving God from our heart and our soul, we respond with mercy, not with judgment, not with condemnation. Because the thing that makes Jesus' standard of what it takes to inherit eternal life is an internal standard. That's the difference between what he is teaching and the example that he has given and what the lawyer understands. The lawyer understands outside external action. And on that basis, he recognizes that the one who treated the man who needed help as neighbor was the Samaritan person who helped him. He treated him as neighbor. But Jesus' calling to us is for us to live in this way internally, from our hearts, not simply as an external code. The way we are in our hearts will determine that whenever someone nearby needs mercy, and we all need mercy from one another, from moment to moment, from hour to hour. Whenever we offend someone, we have been unmerciful. Whenever we judge them, we have been unmerciful. Whenever we treat them as though they were some impediment in our way as we tried to accomplish something, rather than acknowledging them as a human being created in the image and likeness of God, whenever we do that, we are unmerciful. The problem is within ourselves. There has to be a change within us, within our understanding. We can't be seeking to justify ourselves. If we seek to justify ourselves, then when we are confronted by someone that Christ would call our neighbor, we won't be able to be neighbor to them. Our selfishness will prevent us. The whole of our spiritual effort to be like Christ, to conform ourselves to Him, is assumed by Jesus' command to the lawyer, "Go thou and do the same." Does the man have the capacity? Do we have the capacity to go and do the same? To treat all human beings as neighbor, constantly, hour from hour, day in and day out. To love others with the selfless love of Christ Himself. That is what we are called to do. And then there's that interesting expression that we might return to that the lawyer used in the beginning. What must I do in order to inherit eternal life? When do we inherit? Do we inherit after we die? We inherit after someone else has died. Christ died on the cross that we might inherit eternal life. It is an eternal life that begins now. It's not an eternal life that has to wait until the body and soul are separated by death at the end of our mortal lives in the world. It is an inheritance that we are given by Christ for us to begin to live an eternal life, treating all human beings as neighbors. There's another death involved here too. If we are going to inherit and live the eternal life of Christ that He came into the world to share for us, there have to be deaths within us, internally. The death of the old Adam is necessary in order for us to inherit eternal life. And we can inherit that eternal life now, today. We can begin to live it immediately. As Orthodox, we are baptized into that life. But it's a potential life is given to us. We are chrismated with the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we have to live the life. We have to begin to live that life that we are given. We don't wait until we die and then we're safe from punishment. It is a life that we are meant to begin to live as soon as we begin to understand the meaning of that life. It may come when we are children. It may come when we are teenagers. It may come when we are in our 20s or 30s. It may not come until we are old men and women. But that life has been given to us. And whenever we acknowledge it, whenever we affirm the life in Christ, and whenever we begin to die to ourselves, that death will permit the inheritance of eternal life for us to live as the new Adam lives. A life that begins now, and death has no power over it. Not the power of death when it takes the form of sin. We can break through that. We can see men and women who do that. The sin of others against them does not keep them from loving their brother and their sister as neighbor. Because the life of the neighbor is your life, my life. My life is the life of others. We are all one in Jesus Christ, in His new humanity. Living that life can begin now, and it goes on without end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.